So now your final report has come out. Tell us exactly what you were trying to accomplish here.
Well, as you suggested, we know that accelerating globalization and the outsourcing of both software code and hardware production is presenting tremendous assurance challenges to the government and to the vendor community. And so we've been working with the National Institute of Standards and Technology and its senior supply chain risk advisor, John Boyens, to conduct fundamental research and to better understand how to address this cyber supply chain challenge.
Okay, and so what recommendations do you have?
Well, let me give you just a few examples, if I could, of the challenges that we are facing today in the cyber supply chain. So, for example, two categories, counterfeits. Just a couple of examples. In integrated circuits, in November 2010, a Vision Tech company out of Florida was tried and convicted for selling over 60,000 counterfeit chips over a three-year period to the military. These chips were sourced from Hong Kong and China and were sold into the big defense suppliers and went into missile programs and very sensitive things like radiation detectors and high-speed trains where failure would produce catastrophe. And when you consider the fact that only 20% of all computer chips are made in the U.S. today, you begin to understand the scope of the problem. If you look at routers, recently in 2010, FBI arrested a ring that had over $145 million of Cisco counterfeit router parts and switches. In addition to counterfeits, there's also malicious tampering. And in 2007, we know that hard drives that were produced in Thailand by an American manufacturer were tampered with by a foreign intelligence service, and they planted operatives on the production line. These hard drives went into DoD systems and had report-back mechanisms, which copied files and sent them back to the intelligence service. So this is the nature of the challenge that we're facing. And interestingly enough, just yesterday in the front page of the Wall Street Journal, it was revealed that Nortel Networks was hit by a continuous foreign hacking, used 7 passwords gleaned from the CEO and others to steal R&D plans and business reports going back to 2000, to the year 2000. And all of this has combined to create what the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, a former FBI agent, has said is a combined losses from these kinds of cyber attacks on the supply chain of $1 trillion in lost research and revenue dollars. So the question comes in is, what can industry and government do about this? What are they doing about this? Well, in the past October 2011, the Security Exchange Commission ruled that cyber breaches constitute what's called material risk to a corporation and must be disclosed. This is a really good first step. We've been suggesting this for a while, but it's really not enough. In our first phase of research for NIST, we surveyed over 200 federal IT vendors, companies of all sizes, about their risk management practices in the cyber supply chain. And the results my colleagues Hart Rossman and Tom Corsi and I found were quite disturbing. 47% of companies reported never using any kind of executive risk management mechanism to govern the IT supply chain. 46% never used any kind of online database of supply chain risk to track risk. We call this a risk registry. And in fact, 45% never even had a risk management plan at all. So industry initiatives have really blossomed in the last 2 years because they recognize this issue.
We're speaking with Dr. Sandra Boysen, co-director of research and professor of supply chain management, rather, at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business. Sorry to break in. We just want to make sure people know who they're listening to.
So you're saying that industry is recognizing where their weaknesses are. Now, fixing those, is that a matter of money? Is it a matter of training? What?
Well, we think it takes a broad, multi-level effort. We just cataloged for NIST in our most recent report over 60 different initiatives that are trying to grapple with this issue. Most are still focused internally on assuring internally oriented systems and how the systems get developed, or sourcing, the acquisition function. And we believe more focus has to go into enterprise risk management across the supply chain so that it can assure defense, what we call defense in depth inside the enterprise, and defense in breadth across the entire supply chain or multiple organizations working together. And we believe there needs to be a vendor code of practice that includes a required disclosure of risks. China has now mandated that for over 21 categories of security products. Even more importantly, we believe it needs to have a risk governance structure, a risk board, a registry, mitigation plans, and audits. Now, in Canada, on the Toronto Stock Exchange, companies can't even list on the exchange unless they have such an enterprise risk management structure in place. There's also an opportunity for accelerated adoption of very advanced tracking systems, and Cisco is leading what's called the Hardware Intrinsic Security Initiative to bring together industry a new lockdown, electronic fingerprinting technology for hardware. And similarly, there's RFID sensor technology for goods in transit, hardware in transit, and there's better ways of tracking software configuration management tracking.
Because there's and a finally, couple of problems. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And finally, lastly, I think there's a really important education and training component here. We need a new kind of professional that fuses cybersecurity with supply chain risk management practices, and we think this is a critical next stage, and we're going after this here at Smith, at the Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland, and we are launching a new professional certificate program in cybersecurity leadership in the fall to do exactly that. And if your listeners are interested, they can get more information on our website, www.rhsmith.umd.edu.
Yes, we've got that at our website. And I just wanted to ask you about one other aspect of this. So we were talking about counterfeit parts, but there's also the issue of a whole subsystem, say a Cisco router, for example, being counterfeited with a label that looks like Cisco. And so how do you counter that when you're thinking you're buying something that's been certified, but the whole thing is a counterfeit?
Well, that's correct. And that's why Cisco and others in the industry now are putting out visual pictures that literally allow you to compare all aspects of what product features you have, even the visual appearance of the security labels on it, with the real counterfeit versus real. So it provides cues for you to begin investigating and seeing if there are discrepancies. And we think this is a very important part of educating the user community about what constitutes authenticity.
Dr. Sandra Boysen is co-director and research professor of supply chain management at the University of Maryland. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.